that are made once we stumble at the revelation, as we behold Christ through the scriptures together, we are edified, your Son is glorified, and we pray that as a result of this study, our lives, our Bible study lives, are energized and spot on for the coming year, before this new year.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
So one of the things that this is going to do for us is to again stir our hearts again for sincere Bible study.
Amen. I think the last one was
hermeneutics, and I hope we were stirred up that time so we can read our Bibles. This time we're going to be stirred up much more because we're going to be mentioning some very interesting things and some very interesting persons. Originally, I already typed, we're going to do hermeneutics, but I just changed my mind that okay, I think we should do something else. I was really indecisive about if we do hermeneutics or pneumatology. Pneumatology is the study of the spirit. And I actually think that, you know, something that we might just mention by the way. Of course, we would have heard people talk now about the move of the spirit. I don't know if you guys have seen it or you've heard it. Of course, if you're not on Twitter or on social media, you're not really have seen it, but you see people talking about it, having a slant about them. I mean, you see people making just of laughing at the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Holy Ghost. And you see those kind of things happen. You ask people and say, I want us to have a word of knowledge. And they're like, what's a bad deal? So when last did you receive that? When last did you have a vision? When last did God even speak to you? Like, probably like 7 months ago. And you hear phrases like, God doesn't speak again. I don't know if you've heard that. And there are texts for that, that God's speaking is restricted to only the written word. And which is correct, of course. The only way you can be able to validate that is God's spirit that really spoke to you. It's from the written word itself. But God is still speaking today. And you go to Hebrews 1:1 and says that God who has sought great times in diverse manners, and in this last time he's spoken unto us and in his Son. And he says, who is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself put us and sat down the right hand of God. Majesty on high. So he says that, you know, people say that God has spoken finally in these last days in the Son. So God is no longer speaking again. So they move things like inward witness. In fact, some people don't believe that somebody can meet you on the road and talk to you supernaturally. Some people don't believe that. Some people just believe that the only person that can talk to them supernaturally are in church. You know, some people are crazy to believe that. That's probably only during believers' meeting. They say, let's fear each other. So when you're walking on the road, you're not open to supernatural demonstrations. Now, remember this, of course. The person have, of course, grown older and the experience that changed. Told me that she was walking on a particular day and then she saw a particular person. Apparently, the person is dead. But she saw the person, met her and spoke to her. Don't even know that the person encouraged her in the Lord. The person also told her the course to study. Of course, that's not what she's studying now. But, you know, she said it. So she said that she was going to, I think she was going to come and visit the person the next day. So, I think when she went, they said that the person that is the graveyard of the person now. The person is apparently buried. Me? Now I cannot explain it. Do you understand? So I don't know anything as you guys. But I'm not saying that people have really closed the demonstrations of God's spirit, the leadings of God's spirit to only church. Pardon me for using that church. You know, they've just restricted it. Like I can only have a great flow of the Holy Ghost when we say he's come to church. So when you're walking on the road, you're not open to demonstrations of the Spirit. When you're watching TV too, you're not open that your eyes can see. So you say, my eyes can only see when you're in church. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Those are one of the things we wanted to talk about in pneumatology. But if, of course, God's Spirit does lead us that way, we will talk about it. But today, we're going to talk about Christology. 201 and examining, what's Christology? It's from two words, Christos and Logos and Logia, which means study of Christ through the scriptures. The study of Christ through the scriptures. We started this in, was it 2020 now or 2021? Which year? 2020. Man, is it true worship or no? 2021 was our first Christology class. 2022 was Christology, 2022 was soteriology. 2023 was pneumatology now.
2022 was
pneumatology. No, hermeneutics was last year now.
That's 2024.
2023 was pneumatology.
Yeah. So 2025 is now. That's why I call it 201. Our first Christology was.
Yeah, Christology, soteriology,
pneumatology, hermeneutics. So I'm going back to Christology now. So Christology is. I think that was our first time. It was 6 hours. I remember it was 6 hours. Who was here?
Ife was here. Who was here again?
Was Dara here?
Yes.
Dara was here. Who was here again?
Someone.
Someone. Who was here again?
I'm not sure about it.
I was not here. I think.
No, I think it was at No, was it at worship?
No.
At worship was at Christ's place.
No, reality of Christianity was at Polakia's place. Polakia's place was reality of
Christianity. It was at worship.
It was at worship.
So. But this time around, we just want to build from foundation from what we started in 2021 and now. Because we said that our theology is Christology. Our Christology is soteriology. Our soteriology is pneumatology. Our pneumatology is the Christology. In other words, we're saying our study of God is in our study of Christ. Do you understand? For example, John 1 says in the beginning was the Word, right? The Word was God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing. The beginning was life. The life was life of man. There was a man. And light shines into darkness. What am I saying? There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He was meant to bear witness of the light. It was not the light. It was the one that was supposed to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He says it was not. It says that he came into the world. The world knew him not. But as many as known him, to them he gave the right to the sons of God, which was born not of flesh or blood, of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And says we beyond his glory, glory is his own, because of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, and most fullness have we received grace for grace. Verse 17, the law was given by Moses, grace and truth given by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, no one has ever sinned at any time. How about the only begotten, who is at the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. So, our study of God, of course, is seen in our study of Christ. So, we said our theology is Christology. But again, we're going to see much of that much later. In other words, when you talk about theology, there's no way you can say you are studying God and not mention who? Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? For example, Colossians 1, it says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1:3 says Jesus is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. And so Jesus reveals God. 1 Timothy 3:6, it says, grace is the image of goodness. God was manifest in the flesh. It says, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the world, believed unto the glory, taken up into glory. Seen of angels, believed on the world, taken up into glory. So Jesus reveals God. I think it was hermeneutics last year that we tried to do a bit of, I think it was even a dichotomy we did. It's not dichotomy itself between God and Jesus. That's what we saw theophany. Can you guys remember? And we saw that the times of the visual appearance of Jesus himself. In the Old Testament. And even when I started today, I did something very simple. We said in Genesis 3, when the Bible says God came into the garden, and that's the Word becoming flesh. Of course, flesh is sin. Right? And the Word is God. And so God comes into sin. And that's what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 5, 21, when he says that for he made people who do know sin to be sin for us. Of course, I think it was E.W. Kerr that said the word be is not in the original. So it's he made him sin for us. When he said to be is like an imitation. But E.W. Kerr says that that he was actually sin. And the Genesis 3 sin came upon Jesus. And he says that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I think it was, what class did we talk about the righteousness? We said righteousness means to bring something back into the right. And we said, of course, sin means disorder. Sin means to go beyond the boundaries. Okay, when we say, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God, the word sin there means to miss a mark. So, for example, am I too fast?
No.
Am I too fast? Okay, for example, my first jam, I got 227, I got 78 my position semi, I got 68 or something in aggregate, and lost cutoff mark was 74. My second one, I got 275 in my jam, I got 72 in my position semi, I got 69 point something aggregate, and low was 70.1. So in those two instances, what did I do? I sinned. Do you understand what I'm saying? I missed the mark. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, the moment I get 71 and lost cutoff is 70, I have been made righteous. That means I have been restored back into. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand, guys? It's like they say, the faculty of law now, we should wear white and black with black tie. So I come to faculty of law and I wear black and white. You know, it's almost the same thing, but it's different with white tie. So they now say, go back and go and change. And I come back with white and black with black tie. What has happened? I've been made righteous. So what Jesus does for us is that he corrects the faults and restores us back into a whole. It's like, so what Jesus did is not basically recycling. You know, recycling is you take a bottle and then you recycle it. What Jesus did was actually he changed us. It's almost the same, huh? But you understand the point. So that's why I say our theology is Christology. So there's no way you can say you know God and not talk about Christ. Of course, even the name Jesus himself, the name Jesus is from two words, Jehoshua. We mean Jehovah Yachah. That is, Jehovah is salvation. So even you can't mention Jesus even means God will save us. That's what Jesus means. Do you understand what I'm saying? That God is salvation. God will save us. Of course. In our days now, we have to name children because you're not calling them But even if they, even till now, I walk around and somebody says, shh, is that your name? But you still look back. Have you? Even myself will look back. In you and I, they say the law. And you're working with five law students. Everybody's going to look back. Hey, the law. You know? But in their days, they name people based on their activity, what God was saying. So, of course, they named Noah. Noah means rest. That's what Noah does mean. Noah means rest. Why was he named rest? His father. Who's Noah's father?
Should we check Lamech or what? Lamech or
Meselam, Lamech, then Noah. I mean, Lamech, Meselam, Meselam. Let's check it. Genesis 5. Hey. Noah's like, yeah? So Noah's father. Genesis 5 verse 22. Okay, Methuselah, yes, it says, Methuselah gave us Enoch. It says, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch to walk with God. Methuselah gave us who? Lamech, yes. Then Lamech, look at verse 29. Methuselah gave us Lamech, then Lamech gave back to Noah. So look at what he said. He says, saying, this one will comfort us. His name means comfort, rest, consolation. He says, concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord had caused. And this is just by the way. You see that they named him Noah. Why is he named Noah? There is going to be a flood, right? That was going to move, that was going to kill everybody or wipe the entire earth away. But God is going to choose a man that is going to bring the world comfort. That's going to bring the world rest. That is, in the midst of the distress, in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the captivity that the flood is going to bring, God is still going to use a man to keep the world. Do you understand? That's the same thing God does for us in Christ. There is sin in the world, there is captivity in the world, there's depravity in the world, but God still is going to use a man. That's what I'm saying. Do you understand everything, everybody? Who's going to bring rest? And it's almost the same thing too when you do tongues and interpretation. Paul says that when you prophesy, it is for exhortation, edification, and comfort. That's Noah. In other words, he's saying that when you give people words of comfort, when you give people words of prophecy, most of those people, they are going through struggles in their lives, challenges. But your words, just like Noah, can bring rest to them. That's why that same 1 Corinthians 14. Am I too fast? Okay, that's why that same 1 Corinthians 14. Paul quotes Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28 says that with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to these people. He says, dear little, he says, I will communicate my rest. That's Isaiah 28:11. So Paul is saying, just like Noah in Genesis 5, Genesis 6, when you also prophesy, you're also bringing rest to people. That's why your prophecies can be destructive. Well, even if you do see it, you are going to say it in a way. One of the people that say, I saw a monkey and a gorilla. Okay? What is that supposed to mean?
We are people, even if you saw, when you are seeing it, you're also telling the person in a comforting manner. So I said that to mention that, of course, Jesus' name means God is salvation, God is going to save us, God is going to deliver us. So in Jesus' name itself also has God in it. So there is no way you can mention theology and not mention what? Christology. Are we learning something? So Christology is pivotal. But again, in the Old Testament, was there a person, a character called Jesus Christ? Let me ask us. Was there a character called Jesus Christ in the Old Testament? Was there a person called Jesus Christ? Like an active person, like part of the characters. Now it's called Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. No, of course not. But there was Christ in the Old Testament. Of course, Christ means Messiah. It means anointed. And that's what, and that's why we have the book of Judges. Amen. And Simon, we are looking at him. Is it difficult? Am I too fast? That's why we have the book of Judges. I mean, look, the book of Judges. I think we saw that in the Gnostic last night. The book of Judges is showing us how God anoints people to do his work. Of course, before the book of Judges was the book of Joshua. Abi? Is it Philippians? Joshua now, then Judges. Ruth is inside Judges. Amen. Amen. This time of the year is when we practically read through all the books of the Bible. Almost everything. So, you didn't know Ruth is inside Judges? Wow. Apocalypse. Are you serious? What do you think Ruth was? There was a town called Ruth. Of course, it's inside the book of Judges. Should we check it together? Yeah, let's see. Ruth chapter 1. Now, the problem is, how do we find Ruth? Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a what? A famine. There was a famine in the land. Can you see it? And it came to a certain man of what? Of whom? Bethlehem. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
A certain man of who? Bethlehem. Judah went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wives and his two sons. So when did the book of Ruth happen? When the judges still ruled. That's in the book of Judges. But again, it's brought out. But this is not in the Gnostic class. We're not talking about why it is brought out separately. But I'm saying that we don't have a person called Jesus Christ. Like, his name is Jesus Christ. Like, another character like Samson, Daniel. But we have Christ. I mean, the judges. Amen. Who are the judges that we have? We have Gideon. We have Samson. We have Jephthah. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Are we learning something? I said 1 Corinthians. Hebrews 11. So at the end, you'll be really spoiled. In fact, the next thing you want to do when you get back home is just going to read your Bible. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. It says, what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of who? Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, and also David, and Samuel, and the prophet. That's the book of what? Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, and what? 2 Samuel. So the writer of Hebrews says that when we read the book of Judges, we are also reading the book of the Messiah, how God uses a man to save a generation. Are we learning something? To preserve a generation. Look at Judges chapter 1.
Amen.
Judges chapter 1. Let's see chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, verse 7. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who have lived Joshua, who had seen all the great works. If I'm saying chapter 2 again. Oh, the Lord, which I thought for you. Let me hold, let me know so I can make fast. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the borders of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of the Mount Gash. And when all the other generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Verse 11. The children of Israel did what? Evil in the sight of the Lord, and what? Served Baals. Now look at the contrast. God, now look at, God had just saved them. They are, yeah?